da boo, la ba da boo, la ba da boo da boo. La ba da boo, la ba da boo, la ba da boo da boo. So I thought we could talk about the need for a teacher, or the benefits of having a teacher, both in terms of Dharma and fish.
Mm.
And I wanted to start just talking about how, I mean, I think everybody probably has people they know who were their, I'm trying to think of a good word for it, you know, like your fish Sherpa, you know, like everybody's right. Got certain fish Sherpas that help them get up the mountain to feel like they're kind of in it and part of it. And I think sometimes people don't even really realize, like looking back, like honestly, I'm my friend Matt, who drove a truck with me where I worked for Parks and Rec when I was in college. Like he had these tapes, you know, and he would play fish tapes. Probably they were, a lot of them were 93, 94, 95, because this would have been 95 or 96. But I don't think that he was thinking like, oh, I'm going to guide Adam into fish. He was playing music he liked, you know, but he really was like somebody who helped. And then along the way, there were always people that knew a little more than me that I was reaching out to and asking questions. And especially when it came to like what to listen to, because you have this huge catalog of stuff and you could pick up a tape that you really don't like at all for any number of reasons, whether it's the song selection or the playing or the sound quality. But there's just this huge volume of stuff to take in, and you want to kind of find the path that you can handle and that fits you. And that's why having those people that are nearby that know you and having their input and guidance makes it easier to end up on the inside of things rather than feeling like you're kind of stuck on the outside and not even sure if you want to go on the inside, you know, and maybe even getting repelled, you know, by things that you hear or not understanding why you're hearing something. I mean, I can imagine somebody listening to a big ball jam and being like, are you kidding me? This is called music, you know, like
right.
The big ball jam is famously when they would put four giant balls out in the audience, bouncy kind of balls, and people would toss them around and spin them and stuff. And the band would play off of, like, each ball represented a band member, and they would like follow that ball and improvise based on that, the movement of that ball. And sonically, like, I mean, going back, I don't really know that it carries over like without the visual,
right,
but
right.
But I mean, that's super cool and unique, you know. So like on the one hand, that's awesome, but if you just heard it on a tape, you'd be like, what the heck is this? Like that's what I'm thinking in terms of like getting into the Dharma. I mean, do you remember your fish Sherpas?
Yeah, I mean, yes and no. Like, I feel like for me, it was largely these like vague, out of reach characters that were like my friends' older brothers and their friends. It's like, you know, the people in your head that you think are like the cool guys, but like maybe you never even have met them all. You know, it's like just like these people you know about, and like there's this thing that they think is cool, so it must be cool. You know, and also our experiences are probably different in the sense that when I first started getting into fish, they weren't a band, and I had no reason to think.
Yeah.
I had no reason to think that they ever would be. You know, because they were just broken up. I mean, it was like probably right after that, like maybe 2005. So I personally actually did a lot of research work on my own, because I remember the show that really grabbed me, or that was really memorable at the beginning, was the 12/31/95, which I think they had just released maybe that year as like a 10-year anniversary.
Oh yeah.
Thing. And like, so I really took to it and spent time digging into the catalog. I don't even really remember how. I mean, definitely a lot of the live fish volumes, but then probably wherever the free listening was at that point. I guess it was maybe more of a process of osmosis for me rather than like one particular person that I remember. But I may have ended up being that person for quite a few people. accidentally. Certainly, like, I wasn't thinking about being like that person, but like you said, I was just listening to this thing that I thought was really cool. I mean, my friends, some of the friends you met that love fish now made fun of me at first for listening to it. So
awesome.
Yeah. So, and then they,
the ones that I met with you at the fish concert.
Yeah, exactly. So of course, of course they all came around. But like at first, you know, it was like kind of like a joke, but then of course everybody understood how cool it was and how good they were.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even with what you said though, there's still like a lot of resources in place that enabled you to do that research and curated collections of live fish recordings and stuff too, which though, like you said though, is maybe different about our coming of age times, you know, because yeah, the only live official live release that was out when I got into fish was a live one. That was the only, there was no live fish. It was just that that was the one live album there was. And then there were, you know, endless Maxell XL2 cassette tapes, you know, of numerous shows and differing gens, you know, like, you'd always have like first gen, second gen. And that was like how many times it had been copied, what generation of a copy it was. And like, you wouldn't want to get anywhere near like a third gen or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so we had fish.net. Because that was one of the first band websites on the internet, I think. Like, that was really, I don't think people recall so much that how, what a cutting edge thing fish.net was. That was really like, Fish was one of the first fan communities to really take off online, and they've been at the forefront. Another way that they are, you know, kind of following the steps of the dead, you know, they were really just building out that whole structure. And I was, you know, I was on, what's it called? Nugs.net. Which is where they do, I mean, it started out as a place, I think, almost exclusively for fish, live fish stuff. And there's a whole story behind it, because it was like some coder guy who was like a fish fan, and he made this website, and it was like skirting illegality, you know what I mean, copyright stuff, I think. Yeah. I might be wrong, allegedly, I should say. But anyway, like, fish went, and instead of saying, like, you got to shut it down, they were like, hey, why don't you come work for us, and we'll do this together, you know? So they made this platform, and now you can get a monthly subscription and see live video and live recordings of so many different bands, Dead & Co, Bruce Springsteen, Metallica. I mean, like, so many other bands are now using that resource. So yeah, and I think that also aligns with the stuff with the Dharma too, because, and I don't know if it's for good or bad, because I mean, I don't know that there's much danger in listening to the wrong fish recording as opposed to getting some really powerful tantric teaching off the internet. So there's definitely a difference there in terms of like potential damage, you know, or a minimum like potential sidetrack in one's practice or confusion if you're grabbing from things from all different traditions and not really understanding any particular one. But at the same time, like, we're at this age now where there's so much available and so many videos and all these podcasts. So like, so yeah, it is like, there's been a change there too, because it used to be like you had to climb up the mountain and wait in the snow, you know, for 3 days, hoping the teacher would give you the instruction, you know, whereas now you can get, you know, 50 of those super profound and sacred instructions in one night and barely absorb them.
Right, yeah.
Much less apply them, you know, or know how.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, I think there is a parallel there, because I think a lot, as far as the Dharma arena goes, you know, I think a lot of that danger or whatever is about either hearing a teaching that turns you off and therefore you just never get into this rich area of Dharma that could help you, you know, or, or hearing a teaching that's super profound that you think that you just get right off the bat, and therefore you don't actually do the work that it takes to actually realize the state that it could lead you to, but you just kind of grasp the idea and think that the idea is the reality.
And maybe use it to generate pride.
Right, right, right. And I mean, both of those things could happen with Phish or any band or any art thing for that matter, too. It's like you hear, let's say you hear one cool Phish song and you're like, oh, I get this. I can build my personality on being a Phish fan. This is awesome. And like, look down on non-fans or, you know, it's like anybody could do something like that, but that would be lame, you know? And
yeah. I mean,
the same goes for the other, like you could hear, like you said, like, let's say you accidentally hear a Big Ball Jam as the first thing. You're like, well, no thanks on this. And then you just missed out on, you know, a treasure trove of musical enjoyment.
Yeah.
Which is why it's significant to like introduce somebody to Phish. I feel pressure when that opportunity arises, you know?
It's yes. Like,
you have to pick kind of the right thing to like grab them, also give them a taste of what's unique and like, you know, keep them kind of into it, you know? It's like, it's mm-hmm. a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what resonated for me was the, you know, that idea of thinking you got a Phish song. Cause there's so many times where like somebody will say, like, listen to the Tweezer Simple from the Greek. You know, this is a recent occurrence.
Yeah.
When we're recording now. And I did it, but I was doing all this other stuff at the same time, including talking on the phone, you know, and like, it just, I mean, it was fine. I like Phish, so it was like, it was fine. You know, I didn't notice anything really special until like the next day when I went back and actually just listened to it. Like just sat down and spent an hour just listening to that amazing couplet of music, the Tweezer Simple from the Greek in 2023. It's unbelievable. And, you know, I really did kind of just think, oh, it's okay. You know, it's fine. It's 2023. Phish, you know, but I'm glad I went back and actually gave it a chance to truly do the practice of listening, you know, to actually give it my attention. And yeah, awesome.
Man,
but no, I'm glad you brought up those parallels because that is, yeah, those are very similar.
Yeah. Also, just not to get off too much on this, but man, so all that I've listened to so far are just kind of like the jam highlights of the three Greek shows. And man, there's some cool shit in there. Like the AC/DC bag from the first set of one of those nights.
Yes.
Man, yep. I mean, that is just right in there, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, all the stuff is, but it's cool. Like the Bathtub Gin from one of those first sets.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I mean, they're just good.
They were not
stuff.
Messing around on this little tour. I mean, mm-hmm. they came in and meant business and had, what was it, like 8 shows, I guess? They were awesome, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
So good. And like I was kind of taking a little lesson, or trying to take a lesson away for myself from listening to how well they're playing on this tour. And I was thinking about how I think there was a real energy and insistence and urgency to their playing for a long time that started to dip away in like 99, 2000. I mean, I don't mean it was gone in 99 or 2000, but it started to decline and continued to decline. Even while they're playing, I mean, I'm not saying they were bad after that. I'm just saying like this quality of like almost feeling like we got to get this in now and we're playing with all of our might, you know, like that I don't think that's as present from like 99 really until the last couple years. Like I kind of feel like, and I think it has a lot to do with age and impermanence. I think like, there's like a quality in youth of not having an idea of what a long life is like. So you're maybe more in it every moment. But then there becomes maybe like a slog in the middle of a long life where you're just kind of hanging out, biding time. I'm definitely talking about myself here. You know, like maybe still keeping habits and preferences and things from when you were in your early 20s, you know. And then there comes some point where you start to recognize like, oh, I'm not going to be here forever. So, and I kind of feel like, maybe I'm projecting, but I feel like their playing has gotten so good because they don't have, they can't have anywhere near as long as they've already been around. Like, that's for sure. You know, like, they're not going to be around another 40 years. So, like, how long they have left, especially to be able to play two set shows with great intensity, who knows how long they'll have that they can still do that. And I think they're very aware of that. And I know it, I'm becoming very aware of that kind of stuff too, you know, and I think, so I tried to kind of take a lesson from them when I was thinking this the other day and just kind of, you know, to reorient myself towards impermanence and like, all right, let's make some stuff happen. Let's do this now, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I think urgency, that's a great word to describe that, those certain periods of playing. Also, like, enthusiasm might be another one that I feel like there was that kind of a resurgence of enthusiasm as they were finding that new kind of funky groove sound in 97 as well.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like this new kind of spark of enthusiasm. And I think there's elements of that present too lately, like, because they really do sound like different. It's hard to define, but there, mm-hmm. there is a new sound that's, I feel like maybe started, you know, like summer 2021.
Yep.
I don't quite know what to call it. Futuristic, like, machine noise, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of effects, but like worked in a way that's kind of still coherent.
Yeah.
But,
huh. Yeah, they're killing it right now. I mean, it's so good. And there's also like another side of it too, is I feel like there's a lot more consistency in just what sounds like caring, you know, like it's just they're even the simple songs, like Trey's playing with it with he just really cares about every note. It sounds like that, you know, mm-hmm. and it hasn't always been that way, you know, but like this really just, it feels like everything matters, you know, every note matters mm-hmm. in a way that it hasn't always felt.
Yeah. And, yeah.
And I'm sure some of that's my own projection and thinking about impermanence, but I have a feeling it's got to be at least part of where they're at too.
Yeah, for sure. You know, because one thought that came up related to all this was just the interesting point to reflect on. Like, you know, you mentioned your friend, coworker at the Parks and Rec department that like introduced you to fish. And it's like he was kind of like your fish teacher, but from his point of view, he wasn't really he wasn't like a fish guru or something. He was just listening to the music that he liked, you know, and kind mm-hmm. of just sharing that naturally. And that made me kind of think about just an interesting parallel to like the Dharma side of that. Like, you know, whether it be just more experienced practitioners or like lay teachers or lamas or like really great masters, you know, it's just interesting to reflect that probably many of those people don't necessarily think of themselves as teachers per se, but they're just people who are sharing something that has made sense to them or that they've used to sort of realize some kind of potential. And, you know, the benefit toward others just happens by a kind of osmosis. I mean, I bet you, you know, that even the most sort of exalted teachers would say that. Like Rinpoche would say that. Like he doesn't see himself as like a great teacher. You know, it's like he's like the Dharma is just true and I've seen it to be true. And, you know, it's just kind of interesting to reflect on that and what that means in terms of the relationship between really broadly speaking, like what we as subjective beings choose to see in external circumstance and like just the play between those two things is interesting territory. But I think that, you know, it specifically applies to the Dharma stuff too. In this case, it's like, you know, people who are on the path of Dharma, we relate to a lot of people at various points that know more than we do, but those people may not see themselves as being great teachers or anything. They're just naturally being what they are.
And that brings it back to the, you know, it zooms it out to the ultimate view too, just in terms of like, we get what we're karmically prepared to get. You know, and so like me talking about how impermanence is impacting fish's playing in 2023, probably has a lot more to do with me than it does with them. And if Matt had been playing that music and I was not open to hearing new music, I wouldn't have gotten anything out of it. And if he had really tried to sell me on it and I didn't really feel like wanting to learn it, I would have probably generated negative feelings towards it and maybe taken my own negative opinions from it, you know, or even like lessons like, wow, I didn't realize, but I don't like improvisational music. You know, and then maybe that's a whole lifetime of me thinking like, you know, having an aversion to improvisational music, which would actually be awful, I think, because that improvisational music is what taught me to appreciate improvisation in life, really.
Yeah.
So there's definitely some real benefit there. We ought to do some sort of broader episode just about different genres of improvisational music, because I think that's maybe a key that we haven't really talked about before too, that like it's this aspect of being on board, you know, no matter what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of ways you can do that, you know, like it's not just fish. Like I would love to talk about some jazz sometime. You know what we should talk about? Have you ever learned about Cobra? John Zorn's Cobra?
No.
Oh man, let's look into this. Listeners too, I've always wanted to see it. I don't know very much about it. Occasionally it will be performed certain places. It's a musical game that John Zorn wrote / composed / put together. It's basically like you get an ensemble, and I think there's an album actually where there's like multiple performances of it because it's always different. And there's like certain people have roles. Like I think from what I recall, there's like a leader and an anti-leader and then like certain like team members or something. And so like people have to do what the leader says, but the anti-leader can like overrule it. And all of this is happening like musically. So you get these incredibly divergent things, you know, that are music made by musicians, but are actually like in a game format.
Hmm. Interesting.
So you really don't know what you're going to get. You know, I remember like a couple of them, you could even like hear the conflict. You know, you could hear like the competition, you know, in the music because it's like built in with the roles. Like somebody's like one person and somebody's like the opposite of that, you know? So, but anyway, this is definitely digressing, but like what you take away from that stuff and what you take away from life, I mean, it has a lot to do with openness and being up for engaging and dancing with whatever happens. And that really is something we can train in. We can train in being able to see anything and everything as the teacher.
Mm.
And that's really what we're talking about in the Vajrayana season here too. It's like creating the causes and conditions to be able to potentially learn joyfully from anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Ba-ba-da-boo, 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 ba-ba-da-boo.